Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, is the verse we'll be starting with today, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Today is the last message in our series on the challenge and power of one. And for the last 5 weeks, we've been focusing on five commitments that we can make that will strengthen us as a church. As we said in the first message, we said usually, you know, with a sermon, you get the application for the sermon at the end of the sermon. That's the way it usually works. But for this series, we got the application for all five messages in the series. We got the application up right at the very front before the series even began. And so today marks the end of the message series, but I pray that it's really just the beginning for these five commitments that we've been looking at. Remember, these five commitments are commitments for the year, but hopefully and prayerfully, and my prayer is that they would become lifelong habits for all of us after that. So let's review these five commitments together. We'll put them up on the screen. There's also an insert in your bulletin that has all five commitments as well. With God's help, I commit to do the following this year. Worship one day weekly with my church family. Number two, serve in one ministry capacity in my church family. Number three, cultivate one friendship with a non-believer for Christ. Number four, give one regular portion of my income for the work of the church. And then number five, the one we'll be looking at today, participate in one regular small group setting for prayer, growth, and fellowship. And this morning, what I really want us to do is I want us to look at the practices of prayer, Bible study, and fellowship, and I want us to see how important they are to your personal spiritual growth, to our growth as a church, and how they all tie in together with this fifth commitment that we're looking at today of a regular small group setting for prayer, growth, and fellowship. So we're starting in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. Please stand with me as we read God's word. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we look at this fifth and final commitment in our series this morning, we'll be looking at a number of verses from your word. God, this is your word. Holy Spirit, you inspired these words. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you would encourage our hearts, that you would indeed challenge us with your word this morning to make these commitments before you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I read a heartbreaking article a number of years ago about a young girl named Brooke. The article was entitled, A Child Frozen in Time. Brooke lived in Maryland at the time with her mother and father. She had three sisters. She was the size of any typical six-month old infant. She was weighing in at 13 pounds, measured 27 inches in length. The article even had a picture of her. She was a cute little girl. Her mother, Melanie, shared, it was written in the article, she giggles, she laughs, she recognizes her mother, her father, she loves to be tickled, she loves her sisters. And the only problem was this, is that Brooke was not 6 months old. She was, in actuality, 12 years old. And for some reason that nobody knows, Brooke stopped growing when she reached the age of 6 months. The parents first noticed the problem when she was about a year old and she just hadn't grown for 6 months. Sadly, Brooke passed away in the year 2013 at the age of 20. And she was 20 years old, but her body and mind had never grown larger than a toddler's. Doctors still do not know why Brooke never grew. It is a mystery. Now, there's another mystery with which I am more familiar. And that is the mystery of people in the church who do not grow. John Ortberg, in his excellent book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he shares the story about a gentleman named Hank. I don't know if that's his real name or not, but a gentleman named Hank in one of the churches that he served. And Ortberg calls Hank the man who never changed. Hank was cranky, irritable, negative, critical, and judgmental. And although Hank went to church all his life, as Ortberg writes, he says, Hank was not changing. He was once a cranky young guy, and he grew up to be a cranky old man. But even more troubling than his lack of change was the fact that nobody was surprised by it. It was as if everyone simply expected that his soul would remain withered and sour year after year, decade after decade. The church staff did have some expectations. We expected that Hank would affirm certain religious beliefs. We expected that Hank would attend services and avoid certain sins. But here's what we didn't expect. And he's saying they were wrong not to expect this. He says, but this is what we didn't expect. We didn't expect that he would grow progressively, that he would progressively become the way Jesus would be if he were in Hank's place. And then Ortberg goes on to talk about the importance of transformation and growing to be like Jesus, growing in Christ-likeness throughout the rest of the book. And you read the story about Hank, and maybe we think of some other people we know, and you wonder, why is it that some people who go to church regularly, why is it that they don't grow in their faith? Why do they stay the same year after year after year? How is it possible that someone who came to Christ years ago, decades ago, could still be a baby Christian? Just an infant in Christ, a child frozen in time, like little Brooke, the girl we spoke about earlier. Fortunately, unlike with Brooke, we do have an answer to these questions. Because you see, there is another reason why some babies don't grow. And that's because they are not given proper food or nutrition. If you don't feed a baby, the baby will not grow. It's the same way with us as Christians. Now, when I was a kid, when it came to food and nutrition, they used to teach us about the four basic food groups. Do any of you remember that? We had the four basic food groups. You had milk and dairy, meat and eggs, fruit and vegetables, breads and cereals. And yeah, nowadays it's more fancy. They have this whole pyramid that they teach the kids, and I don't get that. I just work with the four basic food groups. That works good for me. And the idea was if you wanted to grow strong and physically healthy, you needed to eat a balance from each of these four groups, right? Well, when it comes to spiritual health and growth, I like to talk about the four spiritual food groups. And the four spiritual food groups are these. They're prayer, the Bible, fellowship, and sharing your faith. And just like the four basic food groups, if you want to grow spiritually, you're going to need a healthy balance of all four of these elements in your life. Now, we already talked about sharing your faith. Number four there, the fourth spiritual food group. We spent a whole message on that a couple weeks ago, and we talked about cultivating friendships for Christ. So this morning, we're going to focus on these three other essential ingredients for Christian growth. Prayer, Bible study, fellowship. These are all essential to growing as a Christian, to becoming more like Jesus. So let's do this now. We're going to look at these three essential nutrients for Christian growth, and we'll see how they all come together in commitment number five, that commitment to small groups and Bible studies. Okay, spiritual food group number one is prayer. Prayer. And Ephesians 6:18, we'll start there, tells us pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. 1 Thessalonians 5 says this, pray continually, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Prayer is one of the most basic parts of the Christian life. And yet it also seems to be one of the most challenging aspects, because we all say it again and again, this is an area we could all grow in. We could all grow in our prayer life. You cannot read any point in the Bible very far. You can't get very far without bumping into prayer. It's everywhere. It's one of the most important themes in Scripture. And that's because it is basic to life with God. If you start at the beginning of the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, they prayed. Cain and Abel prayed. Noah prayed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob prayed. Moses and Joshua prayed. King David prayed. The priests and the prophets prayed. We even have a whole book of the Bible in the Old Testament that is literally nothing but a whole bunch of prayers for God's people, right? The book of Psalms. And then you go to the New Testament, nothing changes. The Gospels, the book of Acts, the letters in the New Testament, they're all full of prayers and references to prayer. Jesus made prayer a high priority in both his life and in his teaching. He got up early in the morning to spend time with God in prayer. He prayed over important decisions. He prayed at specific times and places, and then he also prayed spontaneously on various occasions. As different things came up throughout the day, he would stop and he would pray. He told parables about prayer. He taught us the Lord's Prayer as a perfect teaching and example of prayer for all of us. You see, prayer is basic to our relationship with God. And the reason why is because communication is basic to any relationship. It's hard to have a relationship with someone when you never communicate, right? You've got to communicate. And relationship is what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about a set of rules or regulations or rituals. Rather, Christianity is all about a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so our prayers to God should not simply be a formula or praying by rote, but prayer should be personal and from the heart. Let me tell you, it does not matter to God how eloquent you are in prayer, whether you use fancy words or not, whether you use the right words or not. He just wants you to talk with him. It's all. It's as simple as that. Tell him about your day or your worries. Thank him for all of the wonderful things he has done and continues to do in your life. Praise him for who he is. Praise him for his goodness and his power and his love. When you do something wrong, talk to him about it. Confess your sin to him. Say, God, I messed up. I blew it. I sinned. I'm so sorry. Thank you for your forgiveness in Jesus my Lord. Prayer should be as basic to the Christian as breathing. When you wake up in the morning, greet God first. Say, good morning, Lord. Spend some time with him before you rush into the activities of your day. And then talk to him often throughout your day as different things come up. And then when you go to bed, talk to him in the quietness of the night as you fall asleep. See, that's what the Christian life is all about. You're in communication, relationship with God throughout the day. One of the reasons Christians do not grow, one of the reasons some Christians do not grow, is because they do not pray. And without prayer, it is impossible to grow in Christ and in Christ-likeness, because it is only in prayer that God can constantly renew our minds and do his work of transformation in us. So that's our first spiritual food group this morning, prayer. Prayer, you cannot get by without prayer. The second spiritual food group is the Bible. Now, the Bible and prayer, they are closely related to each other. In prayer, we talk to God. In the Bible, God talks to us. Isn't that neat? The Bible is God's own word. And if we read it asking God to hear from him, God will speak to you through these pages, through the words that he has given us in Scripture. Now, it's interesting. We're talking about spiritual food groups. The Bible often refers to itself as food. Did you know that? For example, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says this. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. You might wonder, well, what in the world is spiritual milk? Well, the word that we translate spiritual in that verse is actually related to the same word that we use for the Word of God. In fact, you can even translate the verse this way. Like newborn babies, crave the pure spiritual milk of God's Word so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. What's Peter saying here? He's saying just like a newborn baby, if you withhold the milk from it, if you withhold nourishment, that baby's not going to grow, right? So in the same way, a newborn Christian is not going to grow without the pure spiritual milk of God's Word. The Bible also compares itself to bread. So we've got milk and dairy, now we've got breads and cereals, right? Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's interesting, Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer to pray for our daily physical bread, right? That's part of the Lord's Prayer. And here he teaches us that we also need our daily spiritual bread if we are going to grow strong and healthy as a follower of Christ. So we got milk and dairy, we got breads and cereals. The Bible also compares itself to meat. And Hebrews 12 doesn't do the fruits or vegetables, though. We get honey in Psalm 19 because it's sweet and it's good to the taste. You see, but the Bible is as important to your spiritual life as food is to your physical life. The Bible is vitally important to growing in Christ-likeness because this is one of the primary ways, prayer is one, but through the Bible that God renews your mind for transformation. We need our minds renewed. Our sinful minds naturally resist God's ways. We resist God's truth. Our minds are literally a battlefield, aren't they? Our minds are constantly judging other people, constantly thinking about ourselves and the impressions that we make on others, constantly making decisions based on feelings or selfish motives. And so what do we need to do if our mind is constantly doing all those things? We constantly need to return to God's Word. We need to read His Word and study it and meditate on it, reflect on it, and allow the truth of His Word to straighten out the crooked parts of our thinking and to wash and renew the corruption of our mind. If you are not often in God's Word, your mind will not be renewed. And if your mind is not renewed, you will not know God's transforming power in your life. You cannot grow as a Christian unless the Bible is an important part of your daily life. So we have prayer, we have the Bible, and now our third spiritual food group, fellowship. Fellowship. And without good Christian fellowship, even the strongest Christian is going to find it hard to continue growing in Christ. Hebrews 3:13 tells us this. It says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." Now, this verse contains first a command and then a warning. The command is to encourage each other. To encourage each other as Christians. Do it daily if you can. And then the warning is this, that if we isolate ourselves, if we isolate ourselves from Christian fellowship, we will more easily be deceived by sin, and our hearts will harden towards God. We need fellowship. Hebrews 10 also speaks about the importance of fellowship. Verses 24 and 25, we read these earlier. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, the day when Christ will return." You see, we need to keep meeting together in order to keep encouraging each other so then we can help each other grow in love and in good deeds. If you ever watch the Wildlife Channel, then you know that wolves and other predators, what do? They look for the animal that is separated from the pack, right? That's because they know, even as we should know, that there is strength in numbers. And we need each other if we're going to stay strong in the faith and if we're going to continue to grow in Christ's likeness. If you stop to think about it, you'll see that it's actually impossible to grow in Christ's likeness when you are living in isolation from other believers. And that's because part of growing to be like Jesus is reaching out in love and service to each other. Because what did Jesus do? He reached out in love and service to others. And so if we're going to be like Jesus, we need to be in community. And that's why the New Testament is full of what we sometimes call the one another commands. There are a whole bunch of these in Scripture. Let me share just a few of them with you. Love one another. That's John 13:34. Be devoted to one another. Romans 12:10. Honor one another, also Romans 12:10. Serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Live in harmony with one another, Romans 12:16. And so on and so on. There are 20 or so different one another commands in the New Testament. And all of them can only be fulfilled and obeyed in community with one another, right? You can't possibly fulfill a one another command if you're not in fellowship with one another. In fact, that's another of the one another commands. It's the last one on the list up there that I've got there. To have fellowship with one another. In order to live the Christian life, we need each other. You cannot grow as a Christian the way God has designed you to grow as a Christian in isolation. And so Christian fellowship, it's one of our spiritual food groups. Why? Because it's an essential part of Christian growth. Now, I've got to tell you something. Sunday morning worship, the Sunday morning worship service, is not the best time to have Christian fellowship with each other. I'm not saying that Sunday morning worship's not important. Of course it's important. That was commitment number one, wasn't it? To worship regularly, once a week with my church family. It's vitally important that we come together to worship God, to attend to the preaching of His Word. And we do have some fellowship together on Sunday morning and Sunday morning worship service. We get up and we shake hands, we greet each other, and some of us go across and we have some coffee and donuts together and sit down and catch up. But I've got to tell you, if that is the only fellowship that you are experiencing as a Christian, then you are missing out on an important part of God's will for your life. And that is why at our church we have, as many churches, not just ours, many churches do, but our church, we have small groups and Bible studies. You see, the early church met in small groups, and we try to do the same. Small groups offer something different from the Sunday morning worship. They offer a more relaxed atmosphere. It's a place where you can get to know other people. They can get to know you, and where you can truly experience a sense of belonging. Our small groups and Bible studies offer a mixture of, ready for this? Prayer, Bible study, and fellowship. There they are, the three spiritual food groups we've been looking at this morning. Why have we been looking at them? Because they're not only important in your personal life, but you get all three when you get involved in a small group or Bible study. Get all three in one setting. It's a buffet. It's a potluck. It's all right there for you. And so that brings us to our fifth and final commitment now from the challenge and power of one. Here we go. Commitment number five. With God's help, I commit to participate in one regular small group setting for prayer, growth, and fellowship this year. Let's talk about that. What does it mean if you decide to make commitment number five? It means this, that recognizing the importance of Christian fellowship to living the Christian life and to growing in Christ, you will commit to getting involved in some type of small group or Bible study this year. Whether it's a Sunday school class that meets on Sunday mornings, or a Bible study that meets during the week, at the church during the week, or a small group that meets in somebody's home, it is essential, if you're going to continue growing, if you're going to get this third spiritual food group into your life, that you get involved in some type of small group Christian fellowship outside of just a Sunday morning worship service. Now, we offer a number of small groups and Bible studies that meet on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. They're in your bulletin. We put them in your bulletin every week. They're all listed there. We have a variety of groups. We've got men's groups, women's groups, singles groups, mixed groups, kids groups, youth groups, prayer groups, and Bible studies. There is something for everyone. And if you're not sure where to get started, I'll give you a hint. The easiest place to get started with all of this is just one of the Sunday school classes. Think about it. You're already here on a Sunday morning. You don't have to get dressed up a second time to go out. If you come to this service, all you need to do is just come earlier. Come at 9:30. Go to a Sunday school class. Participate. Then hang out and, you know, grab a coffee and donut from between 10:30 and 11, and then come into your worship service. That's the easiest way to get started. But if that doesn't work for you, we have many other small groups and Bible studies. However you choose to participate, this is my challenge for you this morning. Commitment number five, with God's help, I commit to participate in one regular small group setting for prayer, growth, and fellowship this year. So that's it. We have now finished our series on the challenge and power of one. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray about commitment number five in just a minute. But I want to close out the whole series at this time by considering what our church, Plantation Community Church, what we would look like if all of us made and kept all five of these commitments. I just want us to think about that for a minute. What difference would it make immediately for us as a church? Let's review. Commitment number one. As we've seen with commitment number one, if we all kept and made and kept that commitment, we would immediately grow from a church of about 250 worshiping together on a Sunday morning to over 400. And that would have a wonderful spillover effect into so many other areas of ministry and fellowship. With commitment number two, everyone would have a place of service or ministry in the church. And this would ease the burden for those who are doing so much already. It would also allow us to expand into new ministries here in the church and in the community. How about commitment number three? If we're all doing commitment number three, we would all intentionally be cultivating friendships for Christ with non-believers. That means we'd be reaching out in genuine friendship. We'd be praying for them on a regular basis. We'd be looking for those opportunities where God would allow us to share Christ. And if we're all doing that, I guarantee you by the end of the year, a good number of people are going to come to faith in Christ. And we will joyfully welcome them into God's kingdom and into fellowship here at the church. And then with commitment number four, we would see our church's giving increase significantly. And that would allow us to increase our giving to missions worldwide, as well as expanding our church ministries here at home as well. And with all of these commitments, yeah, our church would probably be growing larger, but with commitment number five, guess what? We would be growing smaller as well. Smaller in a good way, because each of us would be connected to a smaller group of people in the church for prayer, Bible study, and fellowship. And God would be using those relationships to encourage each of us to be growing in our Christian walk, to help all of us to grow in Christ. And folks, for me, that's really what this series has been all about, this challenge and power of one. What does it represent? It represents our immediate potential as a church, not just our potential 10 or 20 years from now. You know, God can take care of that, but it represents our immediate potential. In other words, this is who we can be as a church right now, starting today, starting this very week, if we all just simply said, I'm going to make and keep these five commitments. And if that's who we can be as a church right now, who knows what God has planned for the future? What amazing plans and amazing things He will do through Plantation Community Church in the years to come. I wrote you all a letter. We mailed it out in the mail at the very beginning of this series. And I just want to read you one paragraph from that letter. I wrote these words. I love Plantation Community Church. And I believe that we can truly achieve God's purposes for us as a church, but only as each one of us commits to the task at hand. Will you accept the challenge? Well, the challenge has now been laid out before you. My prayer is that you will take up the challenge and power of one, and that God will indeed bless us mightily as a church as we increase our commitment to Him together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Well, dear God, as we look at this final commitment now, commitment number five, Lord, I know this is a tough one for some of us. Some of us have been going to church a long time, and we're busy. We're busy people. We've got a lot going on, and we've probably heard messages on small groups and Bible studies before. We said, I'll get around to it, and we just haven't. And so, Lord, here we are again, and you're laying this challenge before us to be involved with a smaller group of people outside of Sunday morning worship to help us in our spiritual growth. Now, Lord, if you're laying this challenge in our hearts this morning, I pray for each person. Help us now. We need your help. We can't make these commitments without you. But help us to make this fifth and final commitment to participate in a small group or Bible study. Lord, some of us are still looking at the other commitments. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we work through those. It's hard to look at them all at once. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us, you know, perhaps this week, maybe just to take one commitment every day. And first day, just look at commitment number one and to think about that and pray about it and then with your help to make that commitment. And then the second day to do the same with commitment number two and to take our time with these, to make these solemn and sacred commitments before you. Lord, we want to be all that we can be as a church for you and for your glory. We don't want to be less than what we can be. Lord, we know that you've given us everything we need to do all that you've called us to do, and now we just need to respond. So help us with these commitments. Help us as a church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.